It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey Sports Station. The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Gwen and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
And Chris Ello.
You can't kick a porpoise when it's down.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
And we're back. 3 o'clock hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby's out, Nick DiNucci in.
Might keep it that way for a while.
little Wally Pip situation.
Yes.
If you will. Nonetheless, we'll get to our daily gambit here shortly. Game 5, right? No.
Yep.
Yeah, game 5.
5 it is.
Tonight. Last game before the off day and the series shifts back to Los Angeles, of course, if the Dodgers can't close it out. Hopefully everybody's...
I would recommend that they don't punt this game.
Yeah. It could get dicey if you keep punting.
Yes, keep punting before you know it. You're going to be facing a game 6 or 7. So, you know, this notion that the Dodgers are just, you know, giving up these games on purpose is really
laughable. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. We just said at the same time. But it is, and it's a total slap to the other team that is out there winning these games. Yeah. That, you know what? The Yankees aren't good enough to beat the Dodgers. The only way they can win is if the Dodgers let them. I mean, I think we've all been around this a little long enough. And I don't think too many – Dave Roberts, I think, would find it idiotic as well. You know, I mean, yeah. He didn't use his best relievers last night because they were losing the game. Tony brought it up perfectly. If they were ahead 4-1 going into the 7th inning, believe me, they wouldn't have brought Honeywell in at that point.
It's just a weird notion to begin with that a team is doing something
in the World Series, let alone during the regular season where they maybe are resting some guys.
Yeah, it's completely not out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
You know, you're winning, if you got a lead, you use your best relievers. If you don't have a lead, you don't use your best relievers. It's pretty cut and dry when it comes to the decision making. On the NFL front, we didn't get to it, but Mr. Carr returns for the New Orleans Saints. He's set to
immediately said, "I'm not the savior. Don't put it all on me."
He clearly has recognized from this bitch over there that
the team has some other issues.
There's some other stuff.
Yeah.
Bills Von Miller practicing after he was banned, basically suspended for 4 games.
I don't like to give them credit because they're the team, you know, that competes with my favorite team. But maybe the Bills deserve a little credit beyond Josh Allen. You know, remember, they got rid of everybody, right? All of their key players. They let not their key players, but their their skilled players. Yeah.
A lot of the skilled players that have helped them win games, too.
Yeah, Diggs gone. Now he's hurt, but, you know, the other...
Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis they let go. You know, and they just basically told Josh Allen, here's a bunch of new guys. See what you can do with them. And, you know, Buffalo also traded away a lot of their defensive players, secondary guys. And, you know, they just keep replacing them. Now, obviously, Buffalo hasn't had the kind of playoff thing they'd like. But they're 6-2 again.
Yeah.
They're having another good year. You talk about having a comfortable lead in your division. Miami is in second place, Tony, at 2-5. I mean, that's a wide margin for an NFL division.
Yeah, that's a really wide margin.
Yeah. I mean, and they play Miami this week, so they beat them. Print the T-shirts.
Miami, have they shown any signs of life?
They did on the first drive of the Arizona game the other day with Tua. They went right down the field, and I thought, okay, maybe they're back. Then they didn't get into the end zone for another 2.5 quarters, and by that time, Arizona was back in the game. And then defensively, you know, they had a 9-point lead in the fourth quarter, and you let touchdown, punt, field goal, game over. So they didn't do the things necessary to win. To answer your question, I've already punted on this season since we're using that phrase today.
You're giving up the ghost, Tom, for the rest of this season.
Their tougher part of their schedule is the second part of the schedule.
And they're already
blown
now.
The first part of it. Man. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's hop into some Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Gamble responsibly. Better yet, don't gamble. Just listen to The Daily Gambit and enjoy yourself. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings. Try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple sweetness and mild smoky chipotle heat. Or for a bit of a kick, check out the new Cajun Spice for a rich blend of spicy and tangy pepper sauce. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery. Buffalo Wild Wings, go. All
right. Scravy would be so proud.
What?
That we read the Buffalo Wild Wings. He was terrified about that.
That I
left
would forget. I hope he's still worried about it. Where is he now? About the 16th hole? He's been out and, you know, enjoying a round of golf
today. Started at what time, he said?
About 11 o'clock.
Yeah, he's probably around. He can come towards the end of it.
As far as I know, I haven't received the, I threw my shoulder out text yet.
Not yet.
He's still got a couple of holes left or so. All right, here we go with the gambit last night. Yankees were 1.5 run favorites over the Dodgers. Tony picked the Dodgers, thought they would clinch it. Scraby and I took the Yankees, hoping they'd stay alive. Obviously, the Yankees won that one. Next, Luis Gil, starting pitcher, 3.5 strikeouts. Tony was smart enough to go under. I thought he had to go over to give the Yankees a chance. He only had, I think, one strikeout.
One punchy.
Yeah, Max Muncy went down. Freddie Freeman, maybe this is the easiest bet of the night. 1.5 total runs, hits, and RBIs. Well, one swing of the bat in the first inning. Put him over that. He ended up with one run, one hit, and 3 RBIs, a total of 5. We all went over and won that one. On to some college football. Tony, our Sam Houston guys let us down last night. 10-point favorite over La Tech. Sam Houston wins a scintillating 9-6 ball game.
It's like a baseball game.
Final
right
last night there, yeah. So La Tech with the 10 points was the side to bet on there. Minnesota and Dallas NBA game. T-Wolves by 5. I went with my guy Ant-Man and company. Tony went with Luka Doncic, and he hit the key shot at the end for Dallas to win that game in a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals. Finally, a little hockey last night. Both Tony and I went with the Kings to win in San Jose. Scraby picked his Sharkies, and the Sharkies won straight up 4-2. So after 2 days of the week, Tony and Scraby are now tied at 8-6. I am 7-7. So it's close.
500.
As we head into today's picks, Scraby will not have picks today. First up, again, Yankees 1.5 over the Dodgers. I think we got to keep going there till further notice. Question is, Tony, you go first. Do the Yankees force a game six, or is this the night the Dodgers wrap it up?
I think the Dodgers better get it done now. This is the time.
Yeah.
I'm going Dodgers.
I'm going to pick Gerrit Cole. I think he's going to do it. I think the Yankees are going to bring it back to L.A. And then it'll get a little, at least make the Dodger fans sweat. Not just a little bit, make them sweat a lot. Because if the Yankees win today, not only do the Dodger fans have to sweat, there's a day off tomorrow. So they got to worry all day tomorrow and all day Friday.
I don't think it's not a good thing to lose today. Because it's just the pressure starts to mount.
No. Yes, it does. Who's getting more strikeouts, Cole or Flaherty tonight? They both have 5.5 on the spread. I'll take Cole to have more strikeouts than Flaherty. I think he'll be in the game longer. Tony? Cole
or Flaherty?
You'll go Flaherty, all right? Aaron Judge, he has been the question mark. Runs plus hits plus RBIs. 1.5 is the over-under number. Will Judge finally break out at least a little bit tonight, Tony?
Was it 1.5?
Yeah, he actually went over last night because he had a hit and scored a run.
Yes.
Over. He's got to go over tonight. I think he's going to hit a home run tonight. He's getting closer. Into college football we go. And last week, Kennesaw State, the Owls, pulled off one of the biggest upsets of the entire season. 27-point underdog. They were winless. They beat Liberty, a team that was at that time undefeated. They beat them straight up. Tonight, Kennesaw State tries it again against Western Kentucky. This is action in what conference is this? Oh, this is the Conference USA Wednesday night tilt. Western Kentucky is 3-0 in the conference, 5-2 overall. Kennesaw State, as I mentioned, just got its first win. Western Kentucky by 24. Oh, why not? I'll take the Owls. They're fired up after last week's performance. I'll take the 24 points. Tony?
Yeah, there's no way that they're doing this again.
They left it all on there?
They did.
All right.
They definitely did. I'm going Western Kentucky.
The Hilltoppers.
The Hilltoppers, baby.
All right, NBA tonight. Lakers in Cleveland. A couple of things here. Obviously, LeBron James returns home. Every time he plays in Cleveland, it's a big deal.
LeBron James?
I wonder if Bronny gets in the game tonight. You said probably not.
I think this is his last game with him, if I'm not mistaken.
Right,
I think
after this,
he's going on the shuttle bus, I believe they called it.
To the G League.
To the G League.
I think he is going to get in the game tonight, because I think it's important to Bronny for him to play in Cleveland. We'll see what
By Bronny, you think it's important to Bronny, meaning Big Bronny or Little Bronny?
Big Bronny.
Yeah, Big Bronny.
Well, I don't think Little Bronny has a say.
I think Little Bronny might rather be in the G League right now, honestly.
Just playing and out of the spotlight. He's just sitting at the end of the bench right now. Over-under for this one tonight, 227 points. Tony, you're first. The Lakers are 3-1 after a good fight, tough loss in Phoenix. Cleveland is 4-0. They're one of three unbeaten teams in the NBA. Of course, we're not picking the game. We're picking the total points. I will tell you this. Cleveland averages 123. Lakers are averaging 117. That comes out to 240.
What's the number, 250?
The number's 227.
Oh, yeah, we'll go over.
Go over. Yeah, it seems like a low number for this game.
It does seem like a low number. Cleveland can fill it up, too.
Yes, they can. And they will. I'll say over. All right, LeBron James, this seems like a gimme. 36.5 total. You add up his points, his rebounds, and his assists. Once again, he's playing in Cleveland where he has to shine. So I go over. 36.5. Tony, for points, rebounds, and assists.
I'll say over.
You're going to also say over. And then I thought I'd get the Bulls in there while they're still somewhat relevant.
They got a couple victories
they're
in a row.
They're 2-2. Surprisingly.
Back-to-back wins, too, right?
No.
Or was
they
it
had a win. They've gone loss, win, loss, win. They did get some bad news. Lonzo
man.
He finally came back, and now he's got a grade 1 or 2 wrist sprain. I mean, he's only playing like 10 minutes a game because of his...
Did he fall?
I don't know.
You didn't see it?
I didn't see it, but I know he's out for a couple of weeks. Yeah, I feel bad for him.
I'm glad it's not his knee, though, honestly.
No, that's better news. But, you know, his knee is so bad that they can't even play him more than 12 minutes in a game.
I think they're building him up. Remember,
they got a long way to go.
Years, yeah.
Yeah, they got a long way to go to build him up. All right, Orlando is their opponent tonight. Orlando is favored by 5, even with the game in Chicago. Tony, what are you going to do here?
Orlando favored by 5 against Chicago. I'll take Orlando.
In Chicago. And I would love to take the Bulls, but... They can't do it 2 games in a row. Orlando's, I think, quite good.
They are good.
Yeah, what are they? They're 3-1 so far. I'd love the Bulls to win this game. All right, I'll take the Bulls.
Oh, boy.
It's only a game, you know. It's not like we're playing for anything more than pride, which is the most important thing. All right, I'll take the Bulls plus 5 at home. All right, that's our daily Gambit stuff for the day. Coming up on the show... As we continue along here, AJ Cassaville, MLB.com, will join us in the 3:30 segment. So we'll talk some Padres, some baseball with him. So stick around for that. Next up is some traffic, and then more Gwen and Chris on the other side as we continue on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
As we mentioned earlier, Lakers, Cavaliers, 4 o'clock. You'll get a inside view of what it's like to follow along as I follow along as the Lakers look to...
Oh, that's right. You're going to be on the YouTube screen now.
Yeah.
Ready for a lot of this, people. Right here. I don't know if you can see the tip of my arm, but he's every time they make a 3, he gives them one of those. And in this day and age in the NBA, that's all
it's a
the
lot.
Time.
Yeah. That's a great segue to little bit of the conversation.
It is, because these guys are shooting threes more than ever before, Tony. And it's a week into the season. But if I were to ask you out there, as, even if you're just kind of a, you know, not a hardcore NBA fan, but you watch some basketball, you watch NBA, how many 3-pointers per game would you say each team attempts on average.
Well, I know for the Lakers, J.J. Redick wants them to try to get up around 35 to 37 threes a game.
Every game.
Yes.
And apparently every other team is listening to that. Because
that's what they're doing too.
According to the first week and a half statistics, NBA teams are taking an average of 37 three-pointers per game. Now, to put that in a little perspective, 10 years ago, that's not that long
2014.
Ago. 10 years ago, the Warriors and the Splash Brothers, right? They were called the Splash Brothers because they tried so many threes. Klay Thompson, Curry, and everybody. 10 years ago, the Splash Brothers, that season, teams attempted an average of 22 per game. So in 10 years, the attempts have gone up by 15 per game for each team. That is a huge increase, I think. Now, they're making them, right? So that's why they're doing it. And, of course, you know, we did see what the Celtics did last year, which is shoot a million threes and win the NBA title. But is it good for the game? And I that's the question. There's people coming out against it. Maybe, I don't know whether they should be or not, but people are coming out against all this.
I don't know that it's bad for the game. I think how you get the three is important, right? I mean, the one thing that the Warriors did when they were in their prime that made them a relatable basketball team to watch was it was the threes were coming off a lot of back screens, a lot of giving goes, and the extra pass was being made to get them the wide open threes. Not named Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, because those two were in a league of their own in terms of how they got that shot. But it wasn't just them shooting threes on those teams.
Okay.
It's a bunch of guys. And I don't have a problem with the threes. I mean, I think people watch Steph Curry, and listen, in basketball terms, Steph Curry is probably the closest to normal size that when we watch,
relatable.
It's relatable. So I get why, you know, kids look at him and are like, I can do that. It's an elite skill that he has that many of us don't.
No, that's true. He is incredible. I think the three-point shot, you know, was great when it came more in the flow of offense. You know, when you move the ball around, set some screens, drove the lane, maybe kicked out, guy stepped back, took a three in the flow of the offense. It felt like kind of a killer shot back in the day. It no longer registers as a killer shot because these teams just trade them, you know, at will, running up and down the court. And I don't see a lot of offense run. I see a lot of, you know, one-on-one, jab, step, drive to the hoop, then step back and shoot a three. And even though they make a lot of them, I don't think it's great. I have no idea what the NBA could possibly do to change it. This is Nick Wright, a former player, said the league needs to change the rules. You're playing a dangerous, dangerous game. He doesn't go on to explain, though, what he thinks
there,
they should
Nick.
Do. You know, I mean, that's the issue here. What do you do? What do you tell teams they can't do it?
I don't agree with the premise that it's all dry. I think the good teams that we talk about often have a system and they play out of that system. Now, how many good teams are there? We can have a discussion about, you know, I think that the Western Conference is pretty solid.
And they're putting up points at a rate that is incredible.
No doubt. In terms of points, yes. But I'm talking about in terms of aesthetic and wanting to watch a team, right? Mm-hmm. I think when you think about OKC, if you watch them, they got a good offense. Phoenix with Budenholzer at the helm there. Watching them against the Lakers the first one, they got a good thing going. I think your top-tier teams have that. And then you start getting out of, you know, your six best teams on each side. Then it starts to get, you know, some of what you're talking about, which is a lot of driving, kicking. Some of it is, you know, as they like to say, getting in their bag with the step backs and threes.
Yeah.
That was fun to watch when it wasn't everybody trying to do that, right? And so I don't know that there's a fix for it. I don't know that it needs to be fixed. I just think
it's just the way it's going.
Teams, If the teams that are well coached play out of a system and those players get their shots out of that.
Okay.
If you got the great ones, there are times where you don't need the system because a Steph Curry, a Ant Edwards, those guys can get their bucket at any point in time.
Boston Celtics, just to, you know, finish up this point, the Celtics lead the NBA right now. They attempt, on average, 50 three-point shots a game.
That was my other point. I said
50.
I said,
but
30,
they're the champs. That's what people want to do. They want to emulate the champs.
I said 35, 37s with the Lakers. Mind you, that makes them an average three-point shooting team.
Lakers are way down the list, actually.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, like, that seems like a lot. They're doing that just to survive at this
50.
Point.
50. The Celtics, the Bulls, by the way, set a club record the other night. They made 24 threes.
How many they take?
I don't know. I didn't see. But they set the record for them, the club record, 24 threes. The Celtics average 22 per game.
Yeah.
That's what they average making. I can't complain because they're the champs. So what are you going to tell them? Stop doing it? If you want to beat them, you're going to have to outshoot them.
That's their thing, and we're going to get up enough threes.
Yeah,
that it's not going to matter what you do. If you don't get up at this mount, you're not going to be able to compete with us.
Yeah, and guess how many games the Celtics have lost this year?
Zero. Donut, yeah. Rock, as you like to say.
Rock. It's working for them. So, all right, that's the NBA conversation, probably for a while.
Well, once Gravy comes back, who is the
he totally shoots it down every time.
Hater.
Nobody wants to ever talk about the NBA. You know what? The NBA is still, you know, I think a big deal.
It is.
And I still like it. I mean, I would like to see a little more of the, you know, sounds self-serving, but I like the motion offense. I like Phil Jackson's offense. Yeah. Triangle offense where you ran and you set picks and guys worked in concert together. That is just not the way it needs to be anymore because these guys are so darn skilled. They don't need a screen to get open.
But that's the thing about a Phil Jackson offense. It didn't matter how skilled you are. You had to be able to think the game, the
yes.
IQ. I think you heard LeBron say last year, like, all the guys in the league don't all necessarily have good basketball IQ. And that's what made the offense like Phil's, which was very intricate. I mean, you had triangle and different movements off of that, different plays out of that that didn't need to be called necessarily. It was just kind of reacting off to what the defense. That takes a strong basketball mind that I don't know that everybody could handle at this point.
But once they figured it out, the Bulls were unbeatable and then the Lakers were unbeatable.
Big facts.
It.
Big facts.
Who's leading the NBA in scoring right now, Tony Gwynn Jr.? Trivia.
Shai Gilgeous.
No. 32.8 points per game. Your guy.
Anthony Davis, baby.
Anthony Davis is leading the league in scoring as
of
right
now. Keep it up, AD. We like it. We like it out here.
We're about a half an hour away from Tony giving the three signal because he'll be watching the game against Cleveland.
One of the big matchups for the young guys today. You got the Spurs and the Thunder going at it.
Oh, it's Wembanyama and Chet.
Versus Chet.
And so, I read in that story about the complaining about the threes. Wembanyama, who's 7'3", he himself averages 7 attempts per game
getting him up
from
there.
The arc.
That's, I mean, if
he's
7'3". If I'm the other team, I think it's like, cool, you're leaving us some space in this paint now.
No,
you out that way.
They want him shooting it.
Well, indeed. Yeah. All right, let's get to break. When we return, I believe we have
AJ.
That's right. AJ Cassaville joins us to talk a little Padre baseball on the other side. More Gwynn and Chris. AJ Cassaville joins us here shortly. Welcome in. 3:36 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Nick DiNucci.
Who's doing a fine job, by the way. Hasn't interrupted me once. Hasn't complained about anything yet.
No,
quite,
he hasn't.
Quite nice.
He hasn't done any of those things, actually. Which
things
is,
we're used to on this show.
Kind of a staple on this show. Interruptions.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, also let's give Nick this. He's hit the right button all day long.
Yep.
That's another staple on this show.
We haven't been waiting for a certain thing after it's called for.
Another staple on this show is mistakes, embarrassment.
Grievances. haven't had any grievances yet.
It's been a good show today. I'm kind of liking it.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
No, you're doing a good job, brother.
I told you at the beginning, you didn't have much to beat.
You did say that.
Yes, I did.
5:08, Yankees-Dodgers continue the World Series. Can Gerrit Cole get the Yankees back to his hometown, Los Angeles?
Yeah, I think he can. I hope he does. I mean, I want the Dodger fans to just be...
You want them to sweat this out.
I want them sweating it out all night tonight, all day tomorrow, all day Friday. At least, you know, for 48 hours, I want them to be questioning whether or not the Dodgers are going to choke this thing away. If they win tonight, it'd be much too easy for them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it certainly sets up well for the Yankees tonight. You got your best guy on the mound at home.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to win one, and that if you can win game five.
Yeah, I don't feel like the Yankees are going at it like we have to win three.
Right. No.
They're just saying we got to win one. Get on that plane after the game.
I think having a game five at home with your best guy, if you can win, now the pressure, I think, starts to shift.
I would think so to a certain extent. Dave Roberts and everybody would say, oh, no, the pressure's still on them because we're ahead. I don't necessarily, if anybody knows, it's Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
Because the Red Sox in 04, led by his stolen base, you know, they won game four. Nobody really said much. Then they won game five. I think Ortiz hit a walk-off in game five that year. And they went back to New York. All of a sudden, pressure was on the Yankees, I thought.
Sure was.
And then Boston routed them, I think, in the last two games. I don't even think either of the last two games was very close.
At that time, I was probably at the height of my Yankee hate still. Still fresh in my mind from 98. And so watching the Yankees lose that series was, I mean, some of the best fandom I've ever experienced.
Yeah, rooting for the Red Sox of all teams. But,
right.
You know, you had to do what you had to do. And maybe life, you know, comes full circle.
Yeah, no,
so
you're
Dave
right.
Roberts was
you're
in the middle of it happening. Maybe Dave Roberts will suffer it happening to him.
As
you never know.
Chris said, Yankees throwing the same lineup out there. Dodgers pretty much throwing the same lineup. Gavin Lux will flip-flop with Tommy Edman. He'll move down in the lineup, and he'll bat ninth. All right, we're going to have A.J. Cassavale here shortly to talk a little Padre. There's some rumblings about Ethan Salas having a good fall league down there.
Nothing wrong with that.
Putting up some good numbers. So
nothing wrong with that at all. Let's see what, A.J.'s got a lot of Padre intel, but...
We'll see how much.
I think the catcher position is going to be one of the more intriguing ones next year.
That's come up quite a bit here in the offseason, at least on our show. We've talked a little bit about what the Padres are looking for in terms of. I'm feeling pretty good that they'll have Campy back. Question is, you know, who else are they going to bring back with them?
Campy's going to the All-Star game. I'm sticking with it until he proves me wrong, which. Unfortunately, could happen, but I'm going to root for you, Campy. Come on, buddy.
I mean, you kind of predicted it already.
I already predicted it. I got to stick with it.
I think you have no choice but to stick with it.
I'm going to. Because if I tried to go back on my word, somebody somewhere in the chat would say, oh, no,
even think the chat would be necessary. Your good old partner, Matt Scraby, would be there to let you know and remind you what you said. Now, I think we're on the cusp. Okay, we are no longer on the cusp. We are here. A.J. Cassavale joins us. A.J., how's your offseason, man? We haven't talked since the last day of the season.
I haven't really started yet. I'm in Yankee Stadium right now getting ready for game five. So I'm helping out a little bit on the World Series coverage. I had a week or so off before that. But offseason really gets going whenever the World Series ends. And at that point, it's pretty busy then, too. So. Good in the sense that I'll get to hang out with my son a little more, but for now, it's still baseball season for me.
AJ, I thought you had a great tweet. I read it today. I don't know if you wrote it today, but, you know, I think you hit it on the head. I mean, the emotion that a lot of Padre fans, I think, are feeling right now is watching what the Dodgers have done, you know, in the NLCS and to this point in the World Series, never even mind losing last night, it's hard not to be a Padre fan and say, gee, that could have been us. And maybe it should have been us, you know.
I got some backlash for that series. I think that's just the correct take. Like the Padres won that series. I'm sorry to interrupt, but the Padres won that series. They're the favorite to win. They're the favorite to go the rest of the way. It doesn't mean they're going to win it. Baseball's weird, we know that. But seeing what the Dodgers have done in these last two series, and the way I know the Mets took them 6 games and the Yankees won last night, but they've been in control pretty much the whole way. They were not in control heading into game 4, and I think that's where the sting is. It's the fact that the Padres were that close to putting themselves in the position to win that World Series. Like, I think it was very different than what we saw in 2022. In 2022, that Padres team was probably happy to be in the League Championship Series,
for sure.
And maybe for good reason. They weren't the best of those 4 teams remaining. You can make a case that they were maybe the least equipped to make a run. Had the Padres won this one, they would have been probably the best equipped before the remaining teams to make a run. And that's what's saying.
Yeah, it's really hard to see it any other way. I mean, the Padres are the only team that the Dodgers have faced in the postseason where the Dodgers were clearly on the ropes.
Yeah.
They have controlled every series after that, and you know it does make it a little more difficult to watch this World Series. AJ, you've been able to cover these first four games of this World Series. Game 5 here tonight. Yankees got a good chance, I think, with Gerrit Cole on the mound to possibly send this back to L.A. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it gets interesting because the Dodgers were so willing to kind of, I don't want to say punt last night's game, but they were willing to use some of their lower leverage relievers, especially late in the game when they had a chance to win it. And so they set themselves up to be very fresh tonight. So I kind of put the pitching matchup, even though you take Gerrit Cole over Jack Flaherty, I kind of put it as a little bit of a wash because you know the Dodgers will be sick with their Jack Flaherty hook, and you know they'll have that great bullpen coming in behind him. But this crowd was alive last night once Volpe hit that grand slam, and I think if it's alive again tonight, Gerrit Cole's feeling, like, that's... I'm just very curious to see how it plays out given what the Dodgers did last night, because they were clearly content... They were content losing the game, but they were content not throwing everything they had to win the game. But once you do that, you give the Yankees some life, and now you give them a chance with their best pitcher on the mound in front of a stadium that's hungry to win. I just think this is... I would say there's a better chance than not that this thing's heading back to L.A. That being said, the Dodgers bullpen is fresh. I would expect the Dodgers to be ready to go to their bullpen early if they need to. Their offense is obviously deeper than the Yankees, and that's probably been the story of the series thus far, and everything that we talk about Aaron Judge. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out tonight, because once it gets back to L.A., then I think the pressure is squarely on the Dodgers.
AJ Cassavella is with us from MLB.com. Of course, she covers the Padres here locally, but doing some World Series work. I know you haven't totally turned the page to the Padres, but what kinds of things are you thinking of heading into the offseason? What are some of the top storylines in your mind at this point, AJ?
I think the offseason changed a little bit when the Joe Musgrove news came. At the time, we were obviously focused on what it would do for the postseason. But now what does it do for the Padres' 2025 roster construction? Because they clearly have a foundation of a solid rotation. I mean, they have Yu Darvish, Dylan Cease, Michael King, guys that you're happy to have at the top of that rotation. But there are question marks going forward with those guys. Two of them are free agents after next year. One of them, Yu Darvish, is getting older. Do the Padres go out and maybe in free agency or maybe by a trade? AJ Feller has been great at trading for those kind of arms. Look to add a guy who is more longer term part of an anchor in the rotation to kind of step in to Joe Musgrove's spot for 2025 and then maybe pair with Musgrove going forward. For me, that's the question right now, because obviously you can never have too much pitching, and there's pitching that the Padres are comfortable with being their back end, maybe AAA, like guys that like Vasquez and Waldron filled in, but they need another arm. Obviously, there are question marks with the free agents that are free agents to be 5 days after the World Series, Jurickson and Profar, the big one, the Hoffman Kim option. I think Profar is probably my biggest question position player-wise, just because the Padres have been such a perfect fit as a Padre, and you wonder, if he has that in him anywhere else, because he hasn't in the past. But it'll be interesting to see kind of where that goes, because he wants to be a Padre. The Padres want him to be a Padre. And it's a position the Padres need, that kind of corner outfield bat.
AJ Cassaville joins us here. Always good for some fantastic off-season info. Right now, lucky enough to be covering the World Series. I guess lucky enough. He might want to be with his son, knowing him a little bit, as I do. Yeah. AJ, the other big-time question mark, especially if the one question is answered here shortly in terms of the Ha-Sung Kim option, who plays shortstop for the Padres, you think?
I don't think they know yet. I think they go into the offseason understanding that if Xander Bogaerts is their shortstop next season, that's not, I mean, if that's the worst case, or not the worst case scenario, but if that's the fallback plan, it's not a bad fallback plan to have, because Jake Cronin works really good at second base. I think Xander probably, defensively, he struggled maybe a little bit once he made that transition back to short, but he also, I think you could, you'd be content with him at shortstop for another season, given his trajectory, and then you probably want to move him off that position. Probably obviously have other shortstop options. They have DeVries coming up as a prospect. That's the fallback thing. Now, I'm gonna venture a guess that they have a conversation with Ha-Sung Kim about potentially returning, and that they explore some other options if Ha-Sung Kim ends up elsewhere. Because Xander Bogaerts at second base, I thought was, once he got the hang of it, maybe after the first month or two of the season, he was very good second baseman. And Jake Cronenworth brings a lot defensively at first base. So if you can find that other option, I don't know whether it's a guy 162 game type shortstop, or whether maybe it's a guy that you're moving around. He's there sometimes, he's not there sometimes. But I don't think there's that answer exists yet. I think we're gonna have to wait until the offseason to find out.
AJ Cassaville, one more position I wanted to check in on is behind the plate, where, you know, Campusano started it last year. Things kind of went south, but I know he's still part of this, you know, conversation. Higashioka might be able to get a contract somewhere else for more money. Well, how do you see that playing out? I know Ethan Salas is in the back of every fan's mind, but I don't know if he's quite ready yet.
Yeah, you can't be banking on him for next season. I know what Jackson Merrill did was incredible and impressive, and it's not for him to take over a premium defensive position at such a young age with minimal minor league experience is unbelievable. Now, catcher is another step up in terms of the challenges he presents, and Salas is younger, and that's just, to me, like, you need that stopgap. You need that bridge to him. I think Higashioka is a viable option there, because I think the Padres need his career trajectory. I believe he's 30, or if you could sign him for, I don't know, a year, maybe a second year option or a second year on that, and you're willing to kind of bridge that gap, I think he'd be a great mentor for a guy like Salas. And he's proven what he's capable of doing with his pitching staff. So if not him, and like you said, I think there's a chance that he gets a relatively significant offer elsewhere, given that he's coming off the best offensive season of his career. If not him, I'd expect the Padres to go after a guy like him, just in the sense that they're not going to be signing a younger guy who's going to command more than two seasons. I think they're looking at it as a stopgap for one season, and then that second season maybe he gives way at some point to Ethan Salas. So I would expect that type of guy, but I think he got the Higashioka fit, or would fit, perfectly.
AJ Cassaville joins us here, and AJ, before I let you go, one last question for me. I know last year AJ Preller had to do a lot of heavy lifting in order to kind of get this roster in a spot where it could be competitive while also shaving salary. Now, he may not have to do as heavy a lifting this year, but given the moves we've gone over, plus the coaching side of things. Obviously, Mike Shield has 1 year remaining on his deal. Not too many managers like to go in with that 1 year hanging over their head. Ruben Niebla is a guy that has to be addressed, as it does a few of these coaches on the coaching staff. Any word on how that gets done, when it gets done?
Yeah, that's the first order of business. I don't know when it'll get done specifically, and I know the Padres like to... announce their coaching hires kind of simultaneously, yeah. So maybe some will get done at other times, and we'll hear about them all at once. But Niebla is a big one. He's obviously been such a boost for what the Padres are trying to do with their pitching staff. He's been so important to so many of these guys. kind of revitalizing where their careers are or moving guys into the rotation like Michael Kim and Seth Lugo. That's the first order of business because free agency, we've seen it. It can drag. It can be slow. And you're kind of maybe at the mercy of the players and their agents and the rest of the market. In terms of the coaching staff, those are your guys, and they've proven what they're worth on the field, given what the Padres accomplished in 2024. I think you see that get done before any major moves are happening in free agency or in trade.
Yeah, fair enough. Certainly a lot for AJ to address. May not be as heavy as last year, but certainly a lot to take care of. AJ, man, we'll let you get yourself ready for this ball game tonight. Thanks for coming on and joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, AJ.
AJ Cassavell there, MLB.com, covers the Padres. Right now, getting to enjoy the World Series. He was going to enjoy it one way or another, but he's enjoying it this way.
He would have more fun with his Padres.
No doubt.
Come on.
Me and him would have been debating something.
Don't you think he's right with his tweet today? He said he took some flack for it, but, you know, to me, you can't help if you're a Padre fan but not wonder what could have been.
Yeah,
based on what we've seen the Dodgers do.
Let's get to traffic real quick before we get to break. Now, Chris, what exactly did AJ's tweet say?
Well, he basically said that, you know, with the way the Dodgers have, you know, controlled the last two series, you know, the Padres and their fans probably are feeling a little like what could have been. I mean, that's all
he
said.
And he caught flack for that?
He said he caught flack for that. I think he's 100% right.
It seems pretty obvious.
You know, I mean, the Padres had the Dodgers on the ropes.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't finish. And now, you know, here it is. The Dodgers are closing in on the title. So, anyway, I think he was right.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's only natural to have that kind of thought afterwards. Nonetheless, let's get to break on the other side. Chris versus the fans. 833-288-0973. Give us a call if you want to play.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.